told you last time I was here, which was sometime in February, that we would finish verse 5. We didn't get very far in that lesson. Hopefully, we'll get a little bit farther in this one, but you never know. Anyway, we've got a lot of things coming up. We have, first of all, we have service tonight at 6 o'clock. Then Wednesday night, we have service at 6 o'clock. Friday, we have Bible study. And next Sunday, we have church again. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, Friday evening. So, if you haven't got anything to do, or even if you do have something to do, come around and listen to our pastor. I don't really want to brag on him too much, but I believe he's the best one we got in the whole church. So, anyway, we have Bible conference coming up, April the 1st and 2nd. And we have seven speakers coming. One of them is going to be our pastor. So, anyway, come around then on Friday and Saturday and listen to God's Word. I'll tell you, you can't get enough of it. Anyway, Romans chapter 8. And again, we're going to be in verse 5. I'll go ahead and read the first four verses before it. That way we can catch up to where we're at finally. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We had to cut off the study in verse partway through verse 5, and we're going to try to finish that up. I think we got through, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. If this is where your life is this all there is? And you don't have much to live for. You can accomplish lots of things. You can acquire lots of things. You can have billions of dollars. You know, that's funny. These billionaires, and there's more of them now than I ever heard tell of before. I heard of millionaires that when I was young, that sounded like, wow, what would you do with $1 million? Anymore, that's not so much, is it? I mean, well, yeah, it is. But, you know, we're talking billionaires here now. Do any of them seem happy? Don't any of them seem satisfied to me with what they got? Let's see if I can get more. And then let's see if I can get more. And it's never enough. If this is all you have, if this is all you're after, is what's here on this earth during the short time you're here, you ain't got much. I don't care how much you acquire. When they put you in the ground and shovel dirt on your face, all that stuff that you acquired, it's going to stay here. And you go on to find out what was really important. In the second half of verse 5, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, those of us that know Christ as Savior, we are after the things of the Spirit. We come here to God's house, and we hear a Sunday school teacher get up and attempt to teach out of God's Word. We have a pastor, he gets up and he instructs us out of God's Word, not opinion, Word. He has a saying he likes to use, you compare Scripture with Scripture. You don't compare Scripture with opinion. Your opinion is worth absolutely nothing. Less than the billions of dollars you might earn before they put you in the ground. But the things of the Spirit, these are the important things. If the Holy Spirit is in you, then you are a child of God. If you don't have the Spirit, then you don't know God. Now, we need to be after spiritual things. Now, we sing songs of praise to God, and we pray to Him continually. I don't mean every second of every day or anything like that, but we're always in a spirit of prayer, you know, ready to go before the Lord as things come up through the day, and we hear of things that are happening in our country and around the world, in our church, in individuals' lives, and when people ask us for prayer, and we say, yeah, I'll pray for you, but then do we? We need to remember. I mean, if somebody comes to you and asks you to pray for them, yeah, you can say yeah, but stop right there. Do it right then. That way you can't forget. And when you get old, maybe you will forget things, stuff like that. Sister Terry gives me little pieces of paper to write things down on so I don't forget. But for the most part, if we do things when we think of them, we go before the Lord, and there's plenty we need to be praying about. I mean, we got a lot of sick people in our church, and I'm one of the main ones, and I'm hoping that the warmer weather, I've been doing really good this week. I got to go to church every night and every day so far, so praise the Lord for that. But we need to be after the things of the Spirit. So the Spirit is something to look forward to be guided by. If you're not guided by the Spirit, then you're going to be guided by something else. That's the way we are. That's the way we're built, more or less. You know, we have a double nature, and one nature is a sin nature. Heaven's purgatory. Death can't be right. No, a person that's saved has a sin nature. You better believe it. As long as we're here on this earth, that's the way it's going to be. We're going to have the nature of sin, but we're going to have another nature, a nature that leads us to do the things of the Lord, to seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Okay, anyway, verse 6, I don't want to get too tied down in verse 5. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. Again, there's no life in the acquisition things. You know, carnally minded, you want the things of the flesh, that's it. You're not worried about spiritual things. There's coming a time when you will be. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, if you want to have life, trust the Lord. I mean, He is the only way you can have life. And, you know, okay, like I said, you know, if you live to be 100 years old, you know how long 100 years old is in eternity? Only less. Be spiritually minded is life and peace. That means, what is spiritually minded life? What is that? That means I'll never click my fingers, ever. And peace. There's a saying that people use. Some of them really believe it, some of them don't. It's just a cutesy little saying. It says, know Christ, know peace, with an N-O and an N-O. If you don't know Christ, there's no peace. But, and they got the second line is, know God, K-N-O-W, know peace. So, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, there is no peace. And we talk about peace in this world, and I don't think there has ever been a time on this world since Adam's fall that there has been peace on this earth. If you look at it, even the first family, brother killed brother. And it keeps going on and on and on. We have a little altercation going on now. Russia and Ukraine. But that's not the only place. There are other places. Our northern neighbors. They're at war with their own people up there. No God, no peace. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. True peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. If this is all you're looking for, then you're an enemy of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that would scare me to death. And it did when I finally understood where I sat. I was under God's judgment. Carnal mind is enmity against God. You don't want God as an enemy. God is all powerful. We can't even begin to comprehend the greatness of God. I know we think we do. And we can sometimes get brave when we come before Him in prayer and stuff like that. But I want to tell you something. When you come before the Lord, you better do it respectfully. God is not your daddy. And I don't know how many so-called preachers I've heard say things like that. He's not your pappy. He's not, well, whatever other snide remark you want to make. God is the Holy Father. He is the One. He is the I Am. Carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The law doesn't benefit those that don't know God. Those that... you say, well, how does the law benefit anyone? Well, God's law is perfect. And what does it do? What was it meant to do? It was never meant to save anybody. God's law was meant to show you that you need a Savior. God's law was meant to convict us of sin, to let us know that we're lost and without hope. And those that are carnally minded, they don't care. They don't care about God. They don't care about the Lord. They don't care about the Spirit. They don't care about our brothers and sisters in Christ. They care about what they can get next. Not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, our brother's been teaching about the Holy Spirit, and we've mentioned him several times so far here in this study also, but how then did the law become good or important or effective in our lives? Because of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit doesn't convict you of sin and show you through God's law that you are lost and without hope, what would we need with a Savior? We're okay. Ain't we? No. Verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And just for a little addition to that, I'm not trying to add to God's word, but they don't care whether they please God or not. And we hear people that are moral people, and they think that that's, you know, it's wonderful. I'm a wonderful person. Look at me, you know. I never robbed a bank my whole life. Haven't murdered anybody. Haven't done, well, you know, you name it. I've always been a moral person. So what? That's what you're supposed to be. Period. You cannot please God. Why? Because that doesn't please God. What pleases God? When Christ was baptized and he came up out of the water, the voice from heaven, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's how to please God. To trust in his Son. To believe that he came and gave his life on the cross for your sins. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh. It's talking to us now, right? You're not in the flesh. Yeah, but we are, aren't we? But we're not solely in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, if you don't have the Spirit, you're in trouble. Now, you're not going to speak babbling words or anything like that. You're not going to do a lot of things. I've heard people say that the time for miracles is over, and that's simply not true. When a man or a woman or a child comes to know Christ as Savior, that is a miracle. How did God work that out? That when I was lost, I hated God, wanted nothing to do with him. How did he make it to where I couldn't live without him? That's a miracle. Turn me around just like that. Anyway, those of the flesh, they cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh continually, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Oh, it's kind of a question when they say the sentence ends with a period. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. What does the Bible say? It says to make your calling and election sure. Does that mean you'll never have any doubts? No, I don't think so. I mean, I have doubts from time to time. You know, what would God want with a thing like me? What does it benefit God? And all I come up with is it benefits me. And I know every one of you that have children, You want your children to be happy. You want your children to have the things that they need to. And boy, there's nothing else a child needs more than the Lord Jesus. But it says here, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And the Bible says to make your calling and election sure. So now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So without the Spirit, and for the most part, many churches, they teach about God the Father and teach a lot about God the Son, and the Holy Spirit is kind of an afterthought. But without the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So the Spirit is important. He is the one that convicts us of sin. He is the one that enables us to believe. We don't even have the ability to believe without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that seals our salvation. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay, still going to die. Now, we talk about, if you have the Lord, you're going to have life, right? True. Not this life. We're going to live until the Lord takes us home, one way or the other. Whether in the clouds or through the grave, one way or another, we're going to go home and be with the Lord. Body is dead because of sin. We still have sin, yeah. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So the Bible says all our righteousness is as filthy rags. So this is not talking about our righteousness. It's talking about the righteousness of Christ. He is the one that... I can't begin to explain it to you, but even now, you think the work of salvation was finished at the cross? And yeah, but even now, Christ is making intercession for his people at the Father's throne. When I get up here and heaven forbid, and I know you probably won't believe it, but sometimes I'll say something that's not exactly right. The Lord, he makes it right. His righteousness, that's what we're counting on, not our own, our moral life, our good deeds. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, we're going to spend a little bit of time here. This is a big verse. But if the Spirit of him, this is the Holy Spirit, of him that raised up Jesus, that's God the Father, from the dead, Christ actually died. He didn't go into some kind of suspended animation, if you're a sci-fi freak or something like that. He didn't go to hell to suffer my sins. He suffered the equivalent of my hell. But and I mentioned this to the pastor the other day, I believe that his greatest suffering was when he called out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When his Father, for the first and only time ever, turned his back on his Son and poured out his wrath on him because of me. I think that was the most agony that you could even think of. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. That means this body. You're going to be different. You're going to be made alive, finally. When I was born, I was lost. And we talk about babies being pure and everything like that. Babies are born dead. They're dead in sin. First of all, they have Adamic sin that comes from their father. And second of all, they just naturally sin. You ever have a baby and you set it down and it starts a squalling and carrying on, and you think, well, it's hungry. And try to give it some food, and it keeps on squalling. They said, well, it needs change. And you look in the diaper, and nothing there. And, well, maybe it's hurting somewhere. And you look over, and there's nothing there. And you pick it up, and it shuts up. Sometimes. Sometimes not. Yeah, you got to look at the other side of the coin, too, you know. But babies know how to lie from the womb, just like we did. But He shall also quicken your mortal bodies. There's going to be a change. When you come to know Jesus as Savior, there's going to be a change in your physical body. By His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, the Holy Spirit indwells God's children. Always. From the time you're saved to the time you go into the ground, or the time that we go up in the clouds. We have the Holy Spirit. And whatever we do, wherever we go, He is with us every step of the way. And sometimes we take the Holy Spirit where we ought not take a dog. Sometimes we do things with the Holy Spirit indwelling us that we wouldn't want anybody to know about. But you know what? You can't go anywhere that God doesn't know. God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. That means He is everywhere. He knows what you're doing. You can't hide from Him. So, the best thing to do is do the things that please God. But He quickens your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Again, we need to be easily led by the Holy Spirit. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, because of all this, that's what it's there for. Brother Hobbs used to say that a lot. You know, if you come to the word therefore, read the verses before it, and you find out what it's there for. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Now, you live after the flesh, you're going to get what you deserve. And believe me, you don't want what you deserve. I don't want what I deserve. I want grace. I want mercy. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. And a lot of people might think, well, big deal, everybody's going to die. That's not talking about physical death. That's talking about spiritual death. Now, it's an eternal death. I mean, you think about hell and the suffering and torment that happens there. And, again, if you try to figure out how long is that going to last? And I heard a thing once on the radio. It was done by an association or group that I won't mention because I don't agree with anything they say. But a fellow was talking to somebody, and he said, well, you know, in hell, you know, they got the flames and the fire and everything like that, but you'll get used to it. And the person he was talking to lit a match and stuck it under his hand and burned him. And he said, ow, he jumped back. And they said, how long will it take to get used to that? You don't get used to it. It's eternal torment. And I don't think it's just going to be uncomfortable physical. I think all the times that people tried to talk to you about Christ, all the things that you did, I think you're going to constantly be gnawing at you. You might not have a conscience now, but you're going to have one then. But for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. We need to do our very best to please God. And sometimes that's going to be hard. I used to watch a lot of basketball, and when the University of Kentucky was on, everything else was second place. You know, you had to watch Kentucky win or lose. But and mostly they won because I was watching. But anyway, what's important? What's important? What is the purpose of man? The purpose of man, the whole purpose of man is to glorify God. If you don't do that as one of his children, then you are going to do it in hell. Those in hell are going to glorify God. No doubt about it. God's judgment is perfect. We have judges here on this earth that come up with some of the wildest things. And where did they get that? You know, we have a law in our country. You know, the basic one is the Constitution. And the courts are supposed to go by that. And somehow or another, they have, through twisting and bending, and I don't know, other things, come up with the idea that it's all right to murder your baby. But we need to mortify the deeds of the body. You shall live. Now, what did Paul say about living? Is to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, while we're alive here on this earth, we need to serve God. We need to please our master. And you know, we got a master. Whether you want to believe it or not, it's either sin or it's God. I won't say take your pick because it's not in you. But anyway, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, turn to John chapter 3. We were going to spend a little bit of time there anyway. And we will read verses 17 and 18. John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, that he believeth not is condemned already, for he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So there is one, only one begotten Son of God. So how can we be sons of God? Children of God. How can that be? We're adopted. We are adopted. Now, I used to, I did a devotion once about children, and I mentioned adopted children, and said, you know, when a man and a woman marry and they have children, I mean, you get what you get, right? Yeah. When you adopt somebody, you specifically choose them. Now think about that. You specifically choose them. What does God do with us? He has specifically chosen each and every one of us that are his adopted children. And we, again, need to be led by the Spirit. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. We can't be slaves to sin. Does that mean we'll never sin again? No. As long as we're here on this earth, we're going to sin. But we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He is our Father. Again, he's not our daddy. We need to be very respectful of the Father. And the spirit of adoption. We need to understand how much he loved us. He loved us so much, John 3:16 and all that. For God so loved the world, not everyone in the world of his children. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Only begotten Son. For us. When we come before the throne in prayer. We say something like that, our most gracious Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. I believe we should always mention that. You know, we understand who we're speaking with. We need to understand that as we're talking to Him, He's talking to us too. Because there's going to be times when we're talking to Him about what we should do. And the Spirit of God that dwells in us might call from our memory a verse of Scripture that perfectly covers whatever the problem might be. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, are we trying to claim something that we're not? No. Because that's what the Bible says. If Christ is your Savior, then you are a child of God. And it bears witness. You know, I mentioned a while ago, does that mean you're never going to have doubts? And no, there's going to be times when you wonder about things. And a lot of times people say, that's just the devil trying to put that in your mind. Well, I don't think so. The devil is not omnipresent. The devil is not God. And he is only allowed to do what God will allow him to do. I think these things that come up in our minds are our own device. Things that we do because we still have sin. And we know that God will have nothing other than perfection. In verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And this is going to be the last verse we study this morning. Okay, if we're God's children, then we're heirs. Now, wait a minute. You know, mostly, you know, when you're an heir of somebody here, you don't get the inheritance till after that person dies, right? Well, God's not going to die. So our inheritance is an eternal inheritance from an eternal God. It will never pass away. You know, your great-grandma or something like that passed away and she left you a house or left you a car or left you some furniture or left you whatever. You know, at some point in time, that stuff's going to turn to dust. Our inheritance is going to last forever. No end. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him. Now, there's multiple ways of looking at this. I'll go through two. First of all, if you're a child of God, and you go about doing the things of the Spirit, you're going to suffer. Family's going to turn against you. Friends are going to turn against you. People that you don't know will hate you simply because you're a child of God. It's the only thing that you've done wrong. We need to be willing and able to suffer with him, to do what he would have us to do in every instance. And the other suffering is, when I look at what he had to do, what he left, he was in perfect harmony with God the Father and God the Spirit from all eternity. And he left that, put on the form of a man, and came, led a perfect life, tempted as me. I'm not tempted any more than he was. Yet he was without sin. What about me? I was eat up with sin. He left all that and came knowing the outcome. He was going to go to the cross and he was going to die. Why? For me. And I think of the things he had to suffer. And if that don't make you suffer, knowing what the Lord went through for you and for me, there's something wrong. You look at what all he went through and what all he's still doing. I mean, like I said, he's making intercession for me right this minute. And the last part there, that we may be also glorified together. There's coming a time when we're going to receive a glorified body, a physical body, perfect, no sin nature, no sin ever again, perfect, in the very presence of God, no separation at all. Boy, I look forward to that. I look forward to the time where, well, one thing, my back won't hurt. But that's kind of a selfish thing, isn't it? I don't know, not that selfish. If your back hurts, you know, you really want it to quit. But anyway, we are going to be glorified together with Christ. And why? Because of the things that we've done? No. Because of the things that He's done. And we need to remember that. Anyway, we're going to start with verse 18. Hopefully, next Sunday, I'm really, really, really hoping that the warmer weather helps me with my back so far this week. It has. Y'all keep praying for me. And remember, you know, like I start off with, you know, we have services here multiple times a week and have a Bible conference coming up. If you want to hear God's Word preached, come here. This is where you're going to hear it. Anyway, stick around. About 5 minutes, the pastor is going to bring a wonderful message. I just know it.